1.
You will hear a woman booking a room for a party at a community centre. First, you have some time to look at questions 1 to 4. Now, the test will begin. You should answer the questions as you listen, because you will not hear the recording a second time. Listen carefully and answer questions 1 to 4. Hi, good morning. My name's Pete. How can I help you?
Hi, my name's Maria Lincoln. I understand you hire out rooms in the community centre as venues for parties?
Yes, we do. We've various sized accommodation. It depends on what you're looking for, really.
We're looking to hold a party, a children's birthday party, and we need a room that will hold about 70 people, with space for a small disco area, games, dancing, and food.
Well, we have a large room, and it would certainly hold at least 100 people comfortably. It's used a lot for parties and things like that.
That sounds as if it might be suitable. I've tried various venues, and they're either booked up or they don't hold enough people.
Can you tell me when you were thinking of holding the party?
I know it's short notice, but we wanted to hold it Saturday week. That's September 15th.
Let's have a look. Yes, you're in luck. The Mandela Suite is free then.
I'll just write that down. M-A-N-D-E-L-A.
And the time? When were you thinking of holding it?
In the afternoon, from 3:30 p.m. to 9 p.m.
Yes, okay. There is no smoking on the premises, and we're only licensed to have soft drinks.
Well, that's okay. I think I'm happy to go ahead.
Before you hear the rest of the conversation, you have some time to look at questions 5 to 10. Now listen and answer questions 5 to 10. Can you just give your postcode?
Yes, it's PA57GJ.
Fine. And the flat and street number?
It's flat number 40 and the street number is 35.
Okay, so that's flat 40, 35 Beaches Street.
Yes, that's right.
And a contact number?
My landline is 223279 with the code. But I'll give you my mobile number, which is 07897293381.
Okay, 293381.
Can you tell me how much it will cost?
It's quite reasonable, actually. It's £115 for the hire of the room, with tables and chairs. But if you want to hire disco equipment, we've got a basic system with speakers and other equipment for £25. But there is no technician around in case anything goes wrong. And, of course, it's optional.
That would save us carting something from home, but maybe we should bring a spare sound system just in case.
We've never had any problem with the system, but you might not want to take any chances. What about catering?
Well, we had thought of getting everyone bringing something.
We have someone who can do catering for £9 a head, including the cake if required.
That's handy, but it's a lot, as we have a fairly tight budget.
So, you want to go ahead with the booking?
Yes, certainly.
Okay. I need to take a deposit of £30, which is refundable. The balance needs to be paid 2 days before the event at the latest.
Fine.
You can cancel up to 2 days before, but after that you lose the deposit.
We don't intend to cancel, but is there any insurance we can take out?
Yes, there's a form here somewhere.
How much?
It's, let me see. It's only £9 for the 24-hour period, and that covers you for cancellation, damage, and injury.
Well, at least we'd better have a look at it.
How would you like to pay the deposit?
Cash.
I'll just give you a receipt.
There you are. 10, 20, 30.
£30. Maria Lincoln.
Thank you very much. I'm really glad I found somewhere. We have been trying to book a place for the past 2 weeks, so thank you again, and bye for now.
That is the end of part one.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now turns to part two.
Part two.
You will hear a trainee teacher called Eve talking to her university tutor about her preparations for teaching practice.
First, you have some time to look at questions 11 to 15. Now, listen carefully and answer questions 11 to 15.
Hello, Eve. Come in and sit down. How's it going?
Fine, thanks. I'm looking forward to my teaching practice next week.
Good. Now, you've got two classes, haven't you? Year 3 and Year 6. Have you done your lesson plans?
Well, I've decided to take the topic of renewable energy. I haven't done a lesson plan for Year 6 yet, but I thought I'd base their lesson on an example of very simple technology. So I've brought this diagram to show you. I got it from the internet.
Let's see. A biogas plant. So this is equipment for producing fuel from organic waste?
Yes. The smaller container on the left is where you put the waste you've collected.
Right, and from there it's piped into the larger tank.
That's right, and that's slurry on the base of the larger tank.
Right, and what exactly is slurry?
It's a mixture of organic waste and water.
So is that pipe at the bottom where the water comes in?
Yes, it is. As the slurry mixture digests, it produces gas, and that rises to the top of the dome. Then, when it's needed, it can be piped off for use as fuel in homes or factories. It's very simple.
I suppose there's some kind of safety valve to prevent pressure build-up?
That's the overflow tank. That container on the right. As the slurry expands, some of it flows into that. And then, once some of the gas has been piped off, the slurry level goes down again, and the overflow tank empties again.
I see. Well, I think that's suitably simple for the age level it's for. I look forward to seeing the whole lesson plan.
Thanks. And can I show you my ideas for the Year 3 lesson?
Of course. Let's...
Before you hear the rest of the talk, you have some time to look at questions 16 to 20. Now listen and answer questions 16 to 20.
I thought I'd introduce the topic by writing the word energy on the board and reinforcing the spelling and the pronunciation. Then I'll do a little mime, you know, run on the spot or something, to convey the sense.
I'd keep it brief at this stage.
Yes, I will. Then I'll wipe the word off and write the question, where does energy come from, and see what the pupils come up with.
Fine. I'd suggest that you just brainstorm at this stage and don't reject any of their suggestions.
Yes, that's what I was going to do. Then I've produced a set of simple statements like energy makes cars move along the road and energy makes our bodies grow. There are 8 altogether.
Are you going to give them out as a handout or write them up on the board?
First, put them up on the board and then I'll read them out loud. And I'll get the pupils to copy them out in their notebooks. I'll also ask them to think up one more similar statement by themselves and add it to the list.
Good idea.
After that, I thought I'd vary things a bit by sticking some pictures up of things like the sun and plants and food and petrol and a running child. And I'll get the pupils to work out what order the pictures should come in terms of the energy chain.
I think that's a very good idea. You could move the pictures around as the pupils give you directions.
Yes, I think they'd enjoy that. And to finish off, I've made a gap-fill exercise to give out. They'll be doing that individually, and while they're writing, I'll walk round and check their work.
Good. And have you worked out the timing of all that? It'll probably take you right through to the end of the lesson.
That is the end of part 2.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now turns to part 3.
Part 3.
You will hear a discussion among 3 students who are organising an international film festival at their college. First, you have some time to look at questions 21 to 24. Now listen carefully to the first part of the discussion and answer questions 21 to 24.
Thanks for coming to this meeting on such short notice, Anna and Veronica. It looks like we have just become the organising committee for this year's International Film Festival. We've all just met, so perhaps we should start by an introduction with a bit of background from each of us.
Okay, I'm Anna. I finished 3 years of a languages degree in Sweden, where I come from. This year I decided to study overseas to get to know a different part of the world. I'm also a big fan of European cinema, especially French and Italian. Those are the languages I majored in, along with English. To me, film is a great way to learn about the rest of the world. I was in the film club at my university, so when I saw the notice asking for volunteers, I thought it would be a good way to meet people and get involved in something I really enjoy.
Thanks, Anna. My name is Veronica, and I come from Italy. I'm doing graduate studies in English literature. I went to some of the films in the festival last year and enjoyed them. I especially liked the video interviews. That was when I decided to get involved. I used to do film reviews for our student newspaper back home.
Hi, I'm Chris from Scotland and I'm in fourth year journalism. Cinema is my hobby. Last year I joined the organising committee just like you have now, and somehow this year I've ended up in charge. I'm actually able to use my coordinating work on the festival towards a credit for one of my courses. I have to write up a report on the festival with recommendations, so that's an extra motivation for me. So I hope this is going to be a good experience for us all. Okay, where would you like to start?
How about a general overview of the festival? I don't really know much about it.
Well, the film festival was started by International Student Society 5 years ago and has grown every year. It is held over 4 nights during study break, Wednesday to Saturday. Normally we show 3 films a night. Last year we tried to choose films from different parts of the world that fit together in some way, maybe a similar theme. Or we could feature a type of film like action films or science fiction.
Now you have some time to look at questions 25 to 30. Now listen to the rest of the discussion and answer questions 25 to 30.
Who picks the films?
It's up to us on the committee to decide.
You mean we get to pick all the films ourselves? What a hard decision. There are so many to choose from.
Well, that's the fun part. We have this catalogue of independent distributors. The films are listed by language and have a short summary. We just have to go through it to find a good combination of films that will attract an audience.
Veronica mentioned something about interviews. How does that fit in?
We set up cameras in the foyer of the theatre and did live interviews before, during intermission and after the screening. Anyone from the audience could come up and talk about the film. The Broadcasting and Journalism School set it up and ran the interviews. They were shown on big screens around the lobby and in the theatre. It went over really well. We had a long lineup of students waiting to be interviewed on TV. Everybody wanted their minute of fame.
Great idea.
Yeah, it worked really well. We should certainly do something similar again.
Maybe even develop the idea further, like a website with audience reviews and discussions, so we can get as much participation and involvement as possible.
Hey, that's a good idea.
Can I ask a question? None of the films are in English, right? Are they dubbed or subtitled?
Well, we do occasionally choose a film in English, but only from unusual places where the dialect is so strong they sometimes need subtitles, like the Caribbean or even Scotland. The majority of films in the festival are foreign language, dubbed in English. We've learned from experience that students don't like reading subtitles. Maybe they read too much already. Whatever the reason, the subtitled films get smaller audiences, so we avoid them as much as possible.
So how large an audience can we expect, and how much does it cost to get in?
It costs $5 per film, or a $20 pass for the whole event. All 12 films for the real movie fan. We would have broken even last year, except for a bad storm on the Friday night. We almost had to cancel the whole thing. But overall, we had a good turnout, more than 2,000 people in 4 days.
Oh, that's what I was wondering about, the financial part. Where does the funding come from? What kind of budget do we have?
The festival is subsidised by the Student Council. We generate money through advertising and through admission charges. We'll go over the budget in details a little later, but we've got lots of work to do in the meantime.
I guess we have to start pretty soon.
Well, I think by the 1st of March at the latest. We need to select all the films. Then we have to find some advertisers to sponsor the event. That shouldn't be too hard. We'll just start with last year's list. Our deadline for that should be the middle of March. By the end of March, we need to design the programme. Then we can get posters made up and distributed in April.
Like you said, we need some clever promotion, something to generate interest and get people talking. We have 4 months to get ready. It should be enough time.
Okay, where do we start?
Let's start by talking about films, since that is the best part, and see what we come up with. What was the best film you saw last year?
That is the end of part three.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now turns to part four.
Part four.
Section, you will hear an introductory lecture to a course on Southeast Asia.
First, you have some time to look at questions 31 to 40. Now, listen carefully and answer questions 31 to 40.
My name is Paul Stange. I'm coordinator of this course. It's called Southeast Asian Traditions. I'm also the author of the study guide and the course reader, and you should have those in front of you. As well as these, you'll need two textbooks for the course. There's the one by Osborne and there's another by Legg. I'll talk a bit more about the reading materials in a moment. Now, if you haven't got these materials, you can buy the textbooks at the university bookshop, and you can collect the study guide and the course reader from me on your way out of the lecture. The purpose of this lecture is simply orientation. What I'm going to do is introduce myself, talk you through the course, and give you some additional advice, apart from what's contained in the study guide, on dealing with the various assignments for the course. First of all, the materials. You'll find the two textbooks very clear, and they give a good basic coverage of the history of the region. Most of the reading materials in the reader are fairly easygoing, but I have to warn you that two of them are quite difficult. These are the readings by Smale and Bender. And of these two, the one by Bender is perhaps the more challenging. But don't let that put you off, because understanding these two readings is important to help you develop a clearer understanding of the cultures. In other words, they'll help you acquire greater sensitivity to the differences between the various cultures in the region. Now, the course itself. The course has multiple aims. It's primarily a history course, but it's not only a history course. It is, in most respects, a cultural history course focusing on Southeast Asia. Nevertheless, the course is, as you'll see from the materials, an introduction to the Southeast Asian Studies component of the Asian Studies Programme. In looking at the cultural history of Southeast Asia, there are two major influences to be considered, the Chinese and the Indian. It's important not to forget the extensive influence that these two countries have had in the region. China has been trading throughout the region since at least the 6th century, so many of its cultural and social traditions have influenced the countries in the area, and religious practices from India have helped form today's culture. So we'll be looking for the links and the connections between traditional patterns and today's developments in the region. I think you can now begin to see how these past influences might form a background for the present-day social practices. And in the same way, this course will form a basis or background for second and third year courses, with their focus on the modern period, and in particular, the economic and political situation of the region. So, that's the outline of the course. I'd like to go on now to look at what you have to do, your assignments and so on.
That is the end.